Out there in podcast land, this is Jeremy Gechner, and I am so psyched to introduce this episode for you here. Ever since a couple of years ago, since a little musical called The Prom debuted on Broadway, I've been obsessed with this show. I've been absolutely obsessed with it. I just think the music is so amazing. The story is so touching. I got to see it a couple of times, and it's one of those musicals that stayed with me. So when I heard that Netflix was producing an actual movie version of it, I just thought that was so insane. Then you start hearing some of the names attached to it: Meryl Streep, James Corden, Nicole Kidman, Andrew Rannells, and you're just like, man, they're doing this one to win. But I am so happy here to not be bringing you a review of the movie today, but to be bringing you an interview we got to do through our great friends over there at Netflix with the writer of not only the script for the movie, but also the lyricist and book writer for the Broadway show, Mr. Chad Begelin. Now, Chad is an Illinois kid at heart. He grew up in Centralia doing theater there, and that's kind of where he got his love of musical theater, and he's now turned that into a full-time career as a Broadway lyricist and book writer. He's written the lyrics and book for The Wedding Singer musical, for Elf the musical, also, of course, The Prom here with his writing partner, Matthew Sklar. And then he also did additional lyrics for the Aladdin stage musical that went up a couple of years ago. So an incredible pedigree. This interview is really great. We talk about everything in the movie, just the amazingness of working with that cast, just how he came up with certain lyrics and what he hopes people take away from it. And then a fun little quick rapid fire game for all of you people who are listening to us here in Illinois. So without further ado, here you are, the interview that I got to do with The Prom's Chad Begelin. Enjoy. And we're back here with Chad Begelin right here on NPR Illinois, the Front Row Network. Chad, thank you so much for being on here today to talk about The Prom with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so, I know you're from Illinois, Centralia, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah.
I am fascinated, tell me the Chad Begelin superhero origin story here. Like, how did you go from small town Illinois to Broadway lyricist and book writer and now Hollywood screenwriter? How on earth did that happen?
Well, I was bitten by a spider.
Yes. Typical. No. Who hasn't been?
It's funny. I always loved musical theater. And when I was a kid, there was a place in Centralia, Illinois, in my hometown, called the Cultural Society. Mm-hmm. And they did musicals every year. And I think I was like 8 or 9. And my dad took me to see Oliver, presented by the Little Theater Players at the Centralia Cultural Society. And I was like, what is this? It was, music and lights and costumes and sets. And so I was immediately just hooked. And so I started, doing plays and musicals through that community theater and did, shows in high school and just knew that it was something I wanted to do. So, and my parents, thankfully, were very supportive and, usually when you say you want to go into the arts in any way, there's a big eye roll, but they were great. They were like, if you want to do it, let's do it. I always joke about my dad that if I would have said, I want to hula dance on the moon, he would have said, well, let's get you a grass skirt. Let's get you a rocket. I mean, it was very, very like, if you want to do it, let's figure out how. So, I went to a bunch of sort of summer camps. I went to Interlochen, a couple other performing arts camps, and then ended up at NYU and got a degree in writing and then spent a lot of time bartending and temping and answering phones and sending scripts out. And then eventually, a smaller theater said they would do something I wrote, and then a bigger theater and a bigger theater. And so it just sort of worked, it's just sort of, ignoring all the rejection and plowing forward.
Absolutely. It seemed to have worked there because you've gotten quite an amazing place here. You've done three Broadway musicals now, I believe three, right?
Four.
Four. Okay. I remember The Wedding Singer, The Prom, Elf the musical. And what's the one I'm missing here?
Aladdin.
Aladdin, that's right. Dang it. Well, I think I remember why I thought those three, because, of course, you've worked with your partner, Matthew Sklar, your writing partner there, on all three of those. So, like, how did that partnership come to be? And specifically, how did that lead to The Prom on Broadway?
Well, the crazy thing is a million years ago, I would just send out my scripts to different theaters and just kept getting rejection letters. And I finally sent a script to this place that no longer exists, but it was called New York Theater Workshop. And I got a sort of almost kind rejection letter. So I thought, oh, okay. So I wrote back, because this was before email, and I said, I would love to hear what your thoughts are. I will take you to lunch and, if you'll just let me pick your brain. And so I met with the literary manager, whose name was Andrew Barrett. And he said, look, I really like your writing. I just think, what you sent isn't right for us, but I do know a guy that is a composer, and I'd like to set up a meeting with you. So that guy happened to be Matt Sklar. And so Matthew and I met at a diner over French fries, and we really hit it off. And so we went back to this theater and we said, look, we want to write something. And they said, well, we have a slot in 3 months. If you want it, you can have it. It's to do a workshop, which is where they don't memorize the lines or have costumes, but they, perform your material. And we were so dumb that we didn't know you couldn't write an entire two-act musical in 3 months that we said, sure. So we did it, and we wrote it, and it went up, and that was the beginning of sort of our, 25-year, 26-year collaboration. And then Prom came about because there was this producer who had the idea for The Prom and came to our director, Casey Nicola, who we had worked with several times. And he said, look, I have this crazy idea. I'm really annoyed that all of these same-sex couples aren't allowed to bring their partners to the prom. But then I have this other crazy idea about a bunch of Broadway people who try and, exploit that to help their careers. And we just immediately said, yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
This is perfect. We got it. So it was a one-line pitch from this guy that was basically, I have this idea and this idea. What if you smashed them together? And we were like, done. We love it.
Genius, because this is what came of it. I'm fascinated because, seeing the stage version and then seeing this movie version, you wrote both of these. So what was the key big difference for you when you were writing it for the stage to when you're writing it for the screen?
Budget.
Yeah.
On Broadway, you have to try and keep things as small as possible. I mean small, but, via Broadway term, small. But, you can't go all the different places you want to go because of set pieces, and you mm-hmm. can't have all the different characters you want to have because of salaries and running costs. So there were things that we wanted to do in the Broadway show. For example, we wanted to show Emma's grandmother, and we realized that, to do that, that would mean, as our director Casey said, putting a female ensemble person in a gray wig. And it just wouldn't read. It wouldn't make sense. And so once we, were brought on to do the script for the movie, they gave us carte blanche. They're like, go crazy, go add characters, add sets, add places, go different. There's this term they use in screenwriting called opening it up. And, they really wanted that. They were like, let's not just do a song in one location. Let's do flashbacks. Let's go, journey through time. So it was really surprising how freeing it was to tell the story via film.
Yeah, absolutely. And what you just talked about there reminded me of the song Alyssa Green. You get to see, in the stage show, she's talking very, very, hard things that she's having to deal with. But then you're right, actually getting to see those things kind of play out there really gives us a greater understanding of her character and why she's so hesitant to come out of the closet in this film.
Yeah. I mean, it's working with such a different medium, and it's really exciting because you can go anywhere.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, you're working with Ryan Murphy here, who's been the Hollywood super producer for so many years, but hasn't done a ton of like behind the camera stuff. But, you know, I think he was so perfectly suited for this one. What was it like working with him? You know, he's like this almost legendary guy in Hollywood now. And now you're writing and directing with this guy. What was it like working with Ryan?
It was very fast. he has so many projects going that Bob and I would get an email on a Sunday night, and it would be like, write a scene on Paul and James, go into their past relationships, give Nicole a laugh line, make me cry, get it to me by tomorrow morning. So it was just like, so we were basically on call, because we never knew when, you know, a request would come in. So it was, you know, it's astounding how he's able to manage so many different projects. And I think that's the reason why he works fast. Like, there's no sitting around staring at the moon. It's like, let's go, let's go.
Yeah. And well, you mentioned there your co-writer there, Bob Martin, who, of course, I, as a Broadway fiend, will always remember as the man in chair from The Drowsy Chaperone. But it's your guys' writing style here is so great, because it's really easy to go with the, you know, obviously we're critiquing, you know, bigotry and that kind of mindset. But you're also sneakily, as you said, like doing that critique of like kind of the pompous elitist mindset of just like, oh, well, I know what's best and I'm going to come tell you country folks what's right. And it's a great double critique that's happening there. And that was very deliberate, right?
Absolutely. You know, I'm the only one on the creative team, except for Ryan, who's from Indiana. But with the Broadway show, I was the only one from the Midwest, from a small town. And I almost felt really protective of those characters. And I said, you know, we cannot make them villains. We have to skewer the, you know, liberals just as much. We have to, you know, we can't go in and, you know, shoot arrows at just one camp. So it was great, because that, I think, actually makes the story more realistic. We're not, you know, no one's coming from a place of they're, you know, the, even, you know, Alyssa's mom is coming from a place of love. Yeah. She wants what's best for her daughter, but she just, you know, it's not exactly the right way for her daughter to receive that love. So I think it's one of those things that I'm happy about, because I do feel that we presented real people and not caricatures. If we did air, it's on the side of the Broadway people, which I'm fine with.
Oh, absolutely. That's so like, God, that mindset, and the way that those people in the cast did that. Yeah. I mean, you're working with Meryl Streep, you're working with James Corden, Andrew Rannells, Nicole Kidman. These are insane big names. Like, did you even conceive that these would be the names you'd be writing for when you were adapting this to the screen?
Absolutely not. It was the most surreal thing. Ryan, the director, came and saw the show, and then all of a sudden these stars start showing up in the audience, and we're like, what is Nicole Kidman doing at our little show? Why is Kerry Washington here? What is that, Meryl Streep? Like, we had no idea what was going on. And then when finally we learned he wanted to make a film, we were like, oh my, are those people going to be in the film? So it was mind blowing. It was crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they work so well together, so seamlessly here. I have to let you know what the song that I've been listening to forever since I heard the soundtrack is, that finale number. I think it's time to dance. I think what you and Matt did with that is one of the best finales I've ever heard from a Broadway show. So energetic, so fun. But the message at the center just really pierces. And, you know, seeing videos of them doing it on stage or doing it at the parade, I just think that song is going to last for a very, very long time. Like, was that kind of a hard one to write, because it's a finale? I've heard that finales are a lot harder to do on Broadway.
It was actually not as hard, because the whole time she just wants to dance with her girlfriend. It's not a big thing, you know? And so when she finally gets to, and then everybody gets to celebrate, and no matter who you are, what you believe, get on the dance floor. It's time to dance. So it sort of felt like, at least lyrically, it was what we were leading up to. We have the song earlier called I Just Want to Dance With You. And so it sort of tease up that concept that finally, you know, we're in this world, or what could be a perfect world, where everybody gets along.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm working on an article right now of the top Broadway romantic duets of the last decade, and I think that Dance With You is going to make an appearance on that list. I'm just telling you. Probably going to be very high on that list, because that's the other song that always just gets to me and I want to listen to it. You know, you have such an amazing message at the heart of this, and obviously with the year we've had, people need something to uplift them, to make them see a better world like that. Is that the ultimate message you hope people take away from watching this, from watching The Prom on Netflix?
Yeah, I really hope so. And I think that first of all, it's Ryan Murphy, so it's fun escapism and everyone's wearing sequins. But right. I think, yeah, everybody looks great. That was the first thing he said when we arrived on set. He said, doesn't everybody look fabulous? And I was like, yeah, they pretty much do. But yeah, I hope that's at the core of the Broadway show, of the film. You know, it's about listening to each other, accepting each other, and let live. And I think we definitely need that right now.
Yeah, absolutely here. So I've just got one more little quick thing, if you're willing to play here. I've just got some rapid fire questions, if you want to take part in a rapid fire round here.
Okay, sure.
All right, here we go. All right, so what's your favorite stage musical that is not your own?
Evita,
nice, okay. consequently, what's your favorite movie musical then?
Ooh, I know it gets a lot of flack, but I really, when I want to have just like a nice chill out fantasy time, I love the Hello Dolly with Barbara Streisand. I know people don't love, you know, the Divided, but it's a very old timey fun Jerry Herman score.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a good one. Okay. You talked about your time at the Centralia Stages. What was the first stage role you ever played?
I was in sixth grade, and I was in The Fiddler on the Roof, and played a young Jewish boy.
There are many in that show. Well, if you could play any role in the world, which one would you want to play that you haven't yet?
Oh, that's tough. Evita. I do it pretty good, you know, Ava's Last Broadcast. When I was growing up, that's what I would do with my time. And for my 14th birthday, my mom got me an actual Evita cake with the poster of Evita on it. And I was just like, okay, don't tell anybody. This is the gayest, geekiest theater thing ever. And I loved every second of it.
Well, that's some goals right there. More generic. What's your favorite food?
I like Italian. I like pasta. I like, you know, everything that's wrong and bad for you.
Absolutely. Right after my wife's heart there. She loves Italian. Okay, since you're from Illinois, is it called soda or pop?
Oh, we called it soda.
Yes.
In Centralia, it was soda. Yes. We're Southern. We're very Southern.
Yeah, exactly. I grew up in Mount Vernon, so yes, soda.
Oh, my God, soda. Yeah. You were next door.
Exactly.
You're fancier. Mount Vernon was kind of fancy.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely the fancy Southern Illinois. All right, last one here, and it's actually something we ask everybody who comes on the Front Row Network. What's your favorite movie?
Oh, man.
I know. That's the response.
That's a tough one. For obvious camp reasons, I cannot walk away if it just happens to randomly be playing Mommy Dearest. Mommy Dearest. Faye Dunaway. It's not good, but boy, it's so bad it's good.
Hey man, guilty pleasures. We have a whole show about that. So
absolutely.
Chad, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time. The Prom, it touched my heart. It's going to touch a lot of hearts. It's so much fun. And I think it's going to be one of those musicals that is going to be done for a very, very long time. Trust me, whenever we get the chance to do theater here, I am going to be putting in bids to direct it because I love it so
nice.
Much. So I think you've done something quite amazing there. So thank you for taking the time to talk with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thank you
you for listening to this episode of the Front Row Network, a proud Community Voices member of National Public Radio Illinois. For more from the Front Row Network, including our articles or our other dozens of shows, visit thefrontrownetwork.com or nprillinois.org/programs/frontrownetwork. You can also find us on social media by searching for the Front Row Network on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, and on Twitter @FrontRowReviews with a Z.